I'm Dustin Meehan. Some of you may know me as the voice that goes, "Sit, Ubu, sit," on your favorite family sitcoms. I'm here to tell you about the IntoYourHead.com guestbook. Everybody who's anybody has posted in the IntoYourHead.com guestbook, and you should too, because you haven't truly partaken in the show unless you've mingled with the humble and ignorant listeners such as myself. Visit the guestbook now at IntoYourHead.com.
Into Your Head, your regular dollop of drivel from a pie town, Ireland, featuring Neil O'Carroll and me, Joanne Farrell.
Such was the success of the beginning of the last show with my triumphant guitar playing. I'm going to try some traditional Irish music now with my flute. So if you just bear with me a moment. Been another exciting week here in Thigh Town in Central Ireland. So exciting that, in fact, I don't know where to begin. I could start with the death of the crocodile hunter Steve Irwin, although technically that's not a local news story. I believe he is from Australia, and he died while bravely wrestling a fish. And the whole world is talking about it, every podcast, every radio show, so I don't see why I shouldn't. I've great pity for the man and his family, God bless them, but if you go around fighting with fish, you have to, if you're going to take risks like that, tackling a little fish in the sea, you'll have to expect to be attacked one day. Every fisherman knows that they dice with their lives every day. Every time you catch an eel, there's a danger it might slide up your ass and into your digestive system. And I tell you, the digestive biscuits won't help there. That leads me to wonder why are they called digestive biscuits? It's not like you buy them to aid your digestion. You buy them to aid your hunger tackling system. Your immune system of the food world, I suppose, if you will. And we're actually you probably don't realise we're the only species in the world known to eat digestive biscuits. Fish certainly don't. They eat people, as we found out this week. And cats don't. Cats don't even eat dog biscuits. There isn't a cat equivalent of the dog biscuit. Although interestingly, my dog Chico ate some cat food last night. I was lying on the sitting room floor. I'm not sure where I stand morally on this. I haven't decided whether I'm comfortable or uncomfortable with seeing my dog eat cat food, and my cats sometimes trying to eat dog food, although they find it a bit hard to chew up, especially the bones. And I don't know, but this interspecies nutrition is a controversial area, really. It's a bit like interspecies marriage. There was a woman a few weeks ago who married, I think it was a monkey, I forget, there was something in the papers anyway. I only half read this stuff that's on the newspapers and on the internet, because, eventually you're going to listen to some podcast somewhere and someone will explain what it's all about, because they've read it for you. I'm just too lazy to read nowadays. Anyway, what I came here to talk about to you about today, it was nothing in particular, but I did have a note written to myself to make sure to mention the new Stalkers hotline. You can now phone or text message us any time of the day with your badly pronounced incoherent ramblings, and I'll have details of the phone number later in the show. But do be sure to leave a message on our Stalkers hotline or text message us. And of course, if you don't have those fancy modern devices such as telephones and cell phones, you can always email us from your electro computer machine at studio@intoyourhead.com, and be more than happy to read your message out on the show. What brought me to think of this was the fact that I just found out that our studio here at intoyourhead.com isn't going to have a phone line until at least May of 2007. And now we're in a rural part of Ireland where we're almost half a mile from the centre of the nearest town. So obviously it's a bit much to expect them to install a phone line. I mean, this housing estate with them, about 100 houses in it, has only been built for a year and a half. I mean, it's hard to get phone lines put into those things. So I've no problem with Aircom, the Irish phone company, for taking that long to install it. But it makes me wonder how I'm going to manage this whole Stalkers hotline thing. Now, luckily, we've managed to get a mobile phone line installed into our house, cell phone sort of type thing. So you'll be able to call us on that, and I'll be able to download your messages to my computer and forward them by email to the police, and so it'll be fine. So just in case you were worried, don't worry about that sort of thing. And the other thing I wanted to mention was the fact that my cat Pippi was sitting on the windowsill yesterday, and he noticed the cat next door staring at him. So Pippi, and the young female kitten will do. Pippi just stared back and flashed her boobies at the other cat, and the other cat just sat there staring because it's a male cat. And I'm not going to tell you what happened next, because not really much happened, but it's a thought, isn't it? If those two cats have got together, our neighbour could have been what would she be? She'd be our, I suppose, mother-in-law by marriage. No, what's it? If your cat marries the cat next door, you're the cat next door's parent-in-law, and the cat next door is your daughter's parent-in-law. So that means it's your she's your mother-in-law one times added, as opposed to one times removed. Isn't that right? Yeah. Anyway, if you can tell me what relation we are to the woman next door, once our cats have sex with each other and produce a child, I'm actually very interested. It must be a word for it somewhere. It's something in law or a cat cousin or something. But I'm sure there's someone out there who knows. So please give us a ring on the Stalkers forum and let us know. The other thing that I wanted to mention was the banking system in my local town. Now, they've recently opened a 24-hour automated teller machine, and this is a thing where you go down and you put in your number, and then a little camera above it takes a picture of your number, and then the next day someone goes and uses a copy of your bank card that they've made, and they steal all the money out of your account. And it works absolutely fantastic. But I was standing at the teller machine the other day, and I was just looking at the little glass window, the little glass screen that things usually appear up on, and the bank teller appeared up on the screen, and she had a cat on the desk beside her, I suppose it's okay. I mean, my father worked in the bank for several years. He was an assistant manager until the late 80s, and he was never allowed to bring his cat to work. I suppose times have changed. Not that there's any problem with having your cat in an office. I mean, it's not like it's going to cause any disruption. But it's just the inequity between the generations. I mean, my dad went through his whole 40 years of his career never being allowed to bring a cat to work, despite having had cats at various times of his life. And I'm our generation now, or the next one, whenever it happens, they're going to be allowed, apparently, to bring their cats to work. And that seems unfair, but because they'll, because of inflation, at the very least, they'll have been paid. They'll be paid a good bit more than my dad, despite having this perk of bringing their cat to work. And I really think something needs to be done to make amends. I mean, if you discriminate between two workers in the same who are working in the same century, like if I'm working today for a company and someone else is also working for that company today, you expect to be treated the same. And if you're doing the same job, you expect to be on the same pay, have the same perks and the same rules and things. But there's no equity between different times. Like, I mean, if my dad worked, say, 20 years ago, and I'm working today, we could be doing exactly the same job, and one of us would be paid more than the other, and one of us would have different cash bringing to work rules, and that's just completely unfair. As far as I'm concerned, something needs to be done about it, and especially when time travel finally comes along, or when whoever's invented it decides to come here and share it with us. We're all going to be commuting to other times and possibly other dimensions. I don't know. I'm not sure how the other dimensions thing works. In my day, there were just three dimensions. You had height, width, and breadth, and then there was smell as well. But that was more of a sense than a dimension. But admittedly, there was loads of stuff on Star Trek where they'd have these holographic things, and you go in, and it was like, but that was like a fake dimension. It was a pretend thing, and it was within a pretend television show, so it was like double pretend. Not only was the holodeck not real, it hadn't it was on a television show, so it wasn't real at all. Obviously, it was fictional. It was in Gene Roddenberry's mind, but if let's say now that we wanted to invent a holodeck, for those that don't know, a holodeck is the thing on Star Trek where you went in and it used the holograms and or whatever, some sort of technology to create an imaginary world where you could have a little holiday for the afternoon. So you could magic up a hologram of a beach and hang around there for a while and have fictional people there with you. But let's say we don't manage to ever invent a holodeck. What we could do is have a fictional holodeck, which we create on whatever other technology we have at the time. We could create a holodeck using the latest PlayStation. I'm sure that you could. I mean, games have advanced so far that you could have everything. I have a PlayStation 2, and everything on that is 3D. So I presume everything on PlayStation 3 is going to be four dimensional. So presumably you could have enough imagination and computer power and that to magic up an imaginary holodeck, and then you just go into the holodeck and you forget that it's not a real holodeck. You think it's a real holodeck, and you press all the imaginary buttons and you magic up your little holiday for the afternoon, and there you go, and it's all on your little 14-inch TV in your bedroom, and I think that's fucking great.
Hello, I'm Dustin Meehan, and when I'm in Ireland, I listen to Into Your Head.
Now, some of you may have noticed a new voice on the show today, doing the links and the whatever you call those professional voiceover type thingies. And that man is Dustin Meehan, and as far as I'm concerned, he's one of the finest people I know. He's from a place called what's it called? The United States of America. It's just over the other side of you just go down to the west of Ireland and then go on for another 3,000 miles or so across the water. It's a bit further than the Aran Islands, but you can't, and there's no local but ferry service to it. But I believe you can get there by air. Anyway, Dustin is from a place called Washington. And it was great because there's two Washingtons, so it causes a great lot of fun trying to figure out which one he's from. My partner Joanne lived in Washington DC for a while, and I've never for the life of me figured out what the DC means. I think it means Das Kapital, which is the book by Karl Marx, if I remember rightly. And that would make sense, I suppose, in some some stupid way. My local city, well, it isn't really a city at all. It's called Athy, and it's spelled Athy. It's really a vulgar name. Why you would want to name a town after a body part such as your thigh, and then add a to it? And I don't even know what you call a. I know what you call there. That's called the definitive article, and it's ironic because when you're describing the word there as the definitive article, you have to use the word there. So you could get yourself into a vicious circle where you'd have to go, well, it's the definitive article, the definitive article, the definitive article, the definitive article. And you're still saying there all the way through, and you have to replace each word there with the definitive article. But every time you say the definitive article, you have to replace the there with the definitive article. And really, you need some sort of a shorthand for this, some sort of a little one-syllable word that you can use instead of all this. And I suppose, really, that's why they invented the word there, which is actually really clever. Lecture on how to play the banjo, but we're postponing that till the next episode as Joanne is unwell. But instead, I'm pleased to bring you an old lecture of my own, just something I'm very proud of. I wrote back in 2004, and I really am delighted to be bringing it back to you today in audio format. Here it goes. It's called "Suffer Not the Vulgar Fools Who Superfluousize Consonants." The Greek god Alphimedes said it best when he said, "Cast not a thought for the wretched in June, for they will be dead in February." The Greek calendar, of course, runs backwards, so February is later in the year than June, unless, of course, he was talking about February of the following year. Or had he meant that, I think he would have made it clear. Greek gods aren't stupid, you know, except, of course, the Greek god of stupidity, but that sort of goes with the territory. Anyway, my favourite month of the year has always been March. For one thing, I love the military air suggested by the month's title and the fleeting reference to the novel Alice in Wonderland. But apart from that, I just find that March runs along very nice and steadily, and before you know it, it's April, which happens to be the month I like best. Come to think of it, May isn't too bad either, if you can get around the fact that it's named after a fly. Not that I have anything against flies, not in their plural form anyway, it's just that I object strongly to the singular fly. I find it so obnoxious for anything to have the letter Y in it. There are plenty of common letters in the alphabet, which can be combined in hundreds of thousands of combinations, so there is absolutely no reason for any of us to resort to using the last few letters of the alphabet, especially not Y or Z. Let us not lower ourselves to the vulgar standards of those who suffer through their own bad dietary habits from verbal diarrhea. Even worse are those who suffer from the more practical forms of the disorder. Countless millions have been wasted, poured into holes in the ground because certain coordinators at NASA with more influence than sense have decided to go the scenic route to Mars instead of travelling in a straight line and just veering slightly to the left if an asteroid gets in the way. Personally, I think Adam West, star of the original Batman television series, said it best when he said, "Ask not how the void can be increased to make time greater. Ask instead how the existing time can be more richly employed." Admittedly, he was speaking in the context of a symposium of TV scheduling managers, almost all of whom found the statement ridiculous. But you see my point, don't you? When I was a child, the highlight of the television week was The Muppet Show, and it lasted approximately 18 minutes per episode, not counting advertisements. Yet it took almost half an hour to watch the show, despite the rewind and pause buttons having not been invented for television yet. This has baffled scientists for many years, and the eminent astrologist, Professor Stephen Hawking, has predicted that it will continue to do so for a few more years until Libra makes good use of a rising Pisces moon in the south next week, which, knowing Libra, he probably will not. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's some music by a mysterious young man from the USA called Eternal Echo. point in this week's show is less than I would have expected. I would have thought it would have been at least a 6, but it's around a 3, I think, and that's a bit disappointing. But I can pad it out with music and turn it into some sort of an elevator music special, and cut out a lot of the crap. But I don't know. I think the thing with the flute at the beginning kind of rules that out, and it wasn't even a proper flute. It was a recorder, which is a wind instrument used by children in schools here in Ireland all the time. Teachers absolutely love getting their children to blow into things and make noises. It seems to be the way to go in the education system at the moment. I've never seen the attraction myself. I learned to record on myself when I was around 6 or 7, and as you heard at the beginning, my skills are very, very highly advanced now. It's a lifelong skill that I'll always have with me, and I'll pass it on to my children. Just as my father tried to pass his violin playing on to me, but failed miserably. It's funny you should mention that, actually, because the violin here in Ireland, when it's used in the context of playing traditional music, it's not called a violin, it's called a fiddle. And my father had 3 fiddles, and it's a very funny name. I always found it absolutely hilarious every time he say, I think I'll go get out my fiddle. I would burst out laughing, and he'd become very offended at that. He used to lock me up in the attic for 3 days, and at one point, actually, he locked me up for 8 years, and it was only when he brought me out on a little shopping trip that I managed to break free and contact the police, and had to have a load of press conferences to get all the media off my back. And then the next week I went diving just off the Australian Barrier Reef, and I got eaten by a sea cat. And so it wasn't one of the greatest periods of my life, but we got over it and things move on. You know, everyone has their problems, and it all eventually, everything eventually passes, and you get on with your life. And I'm in one of the happier periods of my life at the moment, I must say. Next year I'm getting married to Joanne Farrell, who some of you may know from the Into Your Head lectures, which began last week. Joanne is a virtuoso banjo player, and she's also soon to be a teacher. She's in her final year of learning how to teach other people how to grow up and become adults, and then maybe become teachers themselves. And the irony hasn't escaped me that the teachers are teaching teachers how to teach. But it's hardly going to be students learning from students how to student. I mean, that would be just ridiculous. That would be going backwards. That would be like Professor Stephen Hawking's theory that the universe gets to the end of time, and then time goes backwards to the Big Bang again. Then time goes forwards again and everything happens all over again. Well, actually, now that I mention it, it does make sense that teachers would teach their students how to be teachers, and then the teaching would be passed on to the generations, to the end of time. And then when you get to the end of time and time starts going backwards, then each student teaches their teacher how to be a student, and then that teacher learns from the previous teacher how to be a teacher until time, and then it all goes backwards back to the beginning of time. So I suppose Stephen Hawking had something in that. But on the other hand, he talks through a computer. What the hell does he know? Had this for several weeks, but I've been trying to read it and figure out what it means. So perhaps if anyone can help, you can get back to me and translate it for me. But I'll read it out for you, just for what it's worth. It's from either a guy called Greg Doyle or a guy called Damo, or a guy called Damo using Greg Doyle's email address, whatever that means. I think he's from around here in the Thigh. But here it goes. Hello. Just finished listening to you great pilot broadcast, and did I only laugh my balls off today totally. Yes, I did. I was telling my mother about it, and she just nodded her head consistently. Damn old fool. And yes, oh yes, my mum is back in her cage now, chewing on her chains. Never ceases to amuse me. Hoo hoo, giggle giggle, and other laughable sounding words. But I get your whole meaning deep subliminally with your programme. All wanting to rule the world, eh? Me too. Let's start with somewhere small. Start a fire and blame everybody else. Hide in the shed somewhere and talk whilst they all kill each other. Then we'll inherit the earth. Simple but effective. Works in cartoons, so it'll work in real life for defo. Oh, 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 asterisk, I say a lot, asterisk. Oh, look, your lace is open. Quick, look. Quick, man, quick. Damn, I thought the shoelace gag would work. Damn, I've been found out. Mwahahahahahahahaha. Ha 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 ha. Cough, cough, wheeze, choke, gag, gag, cough. Damn hairball. Running in my evil cackle monologue. Shit, is this still on? Click. Smiley face. Demo. I just do what the voices tell me. P.S. I'm not crazy. I just live in the thigh. Ha ha. Still wheezing. And thank you, Demo stroke Greg Doyle, for your input. I do appreciate your feedback. You can email the show like Demo did at studio@indyourhead.com. But there's now an exciting new way to contact us, and it's called the Stalkers Hotline. You can send us a phone message 24 hours a day or a text message. And within Ireland, you can get us on 087-2962-797. If you're in North America, it's 00353-87-2962-797. And from anywhere else in the world, just dial your country's access code, whatever it is, followed by 353-87-2962-797. Or you can just send a voice message or an ordinary old-fashioned email to studio@internetyourhead.com, and we'll have a Skype service and a dedicated USA-based phone number soon enough. But just, you know, send us your badly spelt incoherent rambling and read it out on the phone or email or text message us. You've no excuse. And we'll read it out in the show, and it'll fill up some time, and that'll save me a bit of work, because it's a hell of a lot of work goes into this program. I hope you realise. I've sat here every week since March, trying to record all this crap and get these thoughts from my brain onto the computer, and then up onto the internet. And half the time, if when I try to upload it, it just falls back down again. It's just like trying to dig a pile of muck and put a pile in a big pile neatly in the corner of the garden where it won't do any harm, other than poison the cats and the local insects. As long as they're your neighbour's cats, it's fine. But I put a lot of work into this, and it would be nice to have some feedback. Thank you to everyone who's been emailing me saying what you think of the show. There's a few others, not the type that you could read out here, mind you, but the solicitors would be in at me, and if you can write something that I can read out, that would be cool, or just phone us at those numbers, and we'd very much appreciate it. Thank you. That's what I meant to say. Forgotten to tell you some sort of an important piece of news this week. I have a feeling it's cat related. We'll see. I'm trying to think. I told you about Pippi staring at the cat next door, and I told you about, no, I didn't tell you about that other piece of news about the cats, because it's vulgar and inappropriate, so I won't be telling you that. No, that's it. It just doesn't feel like there's only one piece of cat news on the show and nothing else. That's not normal. Never mind, we'll move on. I'd like to have another go with this tin whistle thing, or this recorder, if you don't mind. I'm trying to remember one of the first tunes I learned back in school. it was a piece of world music, in that it was recorded in the world somewhere and passed around from country to country until somebody decided they didn't want to pass it on anymore. They weren't going to be part of this stupid damn chain letter, because they're quite right. I don't believe in chain letters. I think they're disgusting. A chain letter, for those who don't know, is a thing where you get a letter saying if you don't pass this letter on to 10 other people, your cat will die, and you'll get AIDS, and your mother will burn her toast, and she'll have to put on another bit of toast, and then she'll almost run out of bread and have to go shopping a couple of hours earlier than planned. She'll have to go for the bread from the shop before lunch instead of after lunch, because otherwise she won't have enough bread for her lunch. And that's what I think of chain letters. You have the same sort of thing going on now in the emails there's all these do-gooders who tell you that you have to pass this email on to 10 other people to spread a bit of happiness, and there's usually some sort of really cheerful spiritual message, and it's in a PowerPoint thing where you flick through and see all these photographs of God, and it's telling you, oh, everything's great, and if you just have these nice thoughts every day and pass them on to 10 other people, then we won't come and murder you in your beds in cold blood, and everything will be fine. And I object to that. I don't know. Anyway, this is my recorder, and this is an old tune I knew. Shit. Now, I got that wrong somewhere, so I'm going to try it again. Extra note there just for good measure, but I'm quite happy with how that went, considering it's been approximately 22 years since I last played the recorder. I think I've remembered it pretty well. I've remembered where all the holes are, especially the ones on the musical instruments. And there's a hole at the end, and you're not supposed to put your finger over that, because that's where the air comes out, and the air is what goes into the it goes into the atmosphere, and it moves all the air molecules around, and all the air molecules banging against each other and scraping, that's what makes all the squeaky noises that you heard there. If you have a proper MP3 player, you'll be able to adjust your settings, and then you won't hear the squeaky air moving noises, and then you'll hear the lovely piece of music that I played for you, and then you'll be grateful. Now, I've noticed that this recorder came in this fancy sort of canvas drawstring bag. The thing is, there's only a hole in one end of that, and I suppose that's fine. But bags are just, you know, bags. If you start talking about bags in a podcast, you'll just reach a dead end, and you have nothing to say. And say, why the fuck did I bring up the fact that the bag only has one hole in it? Was I trying to be funny or something? Or was I trying to say that somehow it's supposed to have loads of holes in it, like the musical instrument does? I mean, that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And not even... Its senselessness isn't even a senselessness of a funny kind. It's just stupid. And it just made me look stupid. I mean, this is going out on the internet. The whole world's going to think I'm an idiot now, and I'm just going to have to give up the whole thing. And you know, I do, despite what you may think, I do value my reputation. I do care what people think of me. I care what the local community here in the Thigh thinks of me. I've only lived here about 6 months, and already I've been featured in the local newspapers twice. Now, normally that would be a bit worrying, because the local newspapers are mostly full of reports from the courts of people who got arrested for various crimes. I was in it for more positive reasons. I was in it for there was a write up about a podcast I do called Into Your Head, which just happens to be the one that you're listening to now, unless you're not listening, in which case it's of absolutely no concern to you whatsoever. But I'm going to assume for the moment that you are listening. Pretty much, because if you're not listening, you won't hear what I'm saying now, and this won't have wasted any of your time at all. And I suppose that's a lazy way for me to deal with it. So I should make two versions of the program, really, one for people who are listening and one for people who aren't. And the one for people who aren't will assume that they don't hear anything that I say, and so it will contain a lot of valuable information that would be of use to people who don't listen to the program, such as the address of the program, where how to find it on the internet, and how to listen. And I suppose that's how most people do it.
If you would like to comment on any of the issues raised in today's program, visit the Stalkers Forum guestbook at our website, intoyourhead.com, or email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener.